episode number 110. What's up, everybody? How you doing tonight, drinkers, drunkies, winos, you fucking hobos? I did not forget about you guys. I've just had a hell of a week. Kind of being sick all week. My allergies have been kicking my ass. This is the best I've sounded tonight. And it's still not that great. I still feel nasally. But this is the best I've sounded. Allergies kicking my ass. I normally release this episode, or an episode every week on Tuesday, possibly Wednesday, to help you get through the work week. And I didn't do that this time. I had to release my episode on Friday. It is Friday. Hashtag, I don't know, Freaky Friday. That's not even a drinking hashtag. Which, by the way, I hate when people say my new episode drops. New episode of Ridiculousness drops on Friday. I hate that shit, dude. My episodes do not drop. I release my episodes like a normal human. My episodes stumble through the door and fall on the ground and pass out drunk in front of you. That's what my episodes do. But I hope you had a good week. Like I said, I did not contract the coronavirus. Before you make the cheesy joke, I'm tired of seeing the memes about the coronavirus. I know it's bad. I don't even know how you get the coronavirus, you know? It's not by drinking beer, like the meme suggests. And China, by the way, keep your nasty-ass coronavirus over in your country. It started over there, it should stay over there. Just keep it over there. You can keep all your smog, your viruses over there. It's like China came over here and sneezed in our faces, which would be New York. New York is the face of the country, right? They sneezed in New York's face, and now a couple of people in New York, from what sources, I don't know where I read this, but nobody's died from it in New York, but somebody, a couple of people have contracted it. That is not official news. That is unofficial news. But yeah, China, keep your shit to yourself. That's fucking gross, bro. Stop sneezing on us, giving us that shit, making us worry. I'm like thinking this thing's going to spread throughout the country. You got me thinking all kinds of crazy ass conspiracy theories now. I've switched teams like two different times in the scenario in my head. Like, I'm thinking this is like some kind of virus warfare China's waging on us. You know, they sent the virus over here to get us all sick so they can weaken us and then they can attack. And then I started thinking, wait, maybe we did it to them and we didn't contain the virus that well. And now we kind of caught the cold a little bit, you know. We got the bug over here on accident. You know, it's like a controlled lab. We sent it over there, infected their country. And now we kind of caught it, you know, just what was left of the virus. And I'm just like, that's such a sick way to, like, I wouldn't put it past either country to do that to each other, right? That seems like some sick shit one of us would do. Yeah, that's the conspiracy theory going through my head right now, and I don't know why. And I only say I've switched teams because, you know, I thought it was China that did it to us first, and now I think it's America that did it to China. It's like when you were little kids, you know, you would be on the playground, and if you accidentally hit somebody or knocked somebody over and hurt them, you kind of had to fall down and pretend like you were hurt too, so you wouldn't get in trouble. That's what I'm comparing the coronavirus too. It's like if my conspiracy theory is correct, either way, you know, whatever country shot the first shot, you know, they kind of fell down as well. So the finger's not pointed at them. Oh, well, you're both hurt, so you know, you both get sympathy. It was an accident, right? That's what happens in my stupid brain. Hey, by the way, let me tell you guys what I'm drinking tonight. You'll be shocked to know that I am drinking gin. And you'll be shocked to know that I no longer think gin is the ugly stepsister of all the liquors. My friend Richie, shout out to Richie, turned me onto this Hendrix gin. I bought a bottle the other day. Comes with a cool little booklet. This is actually what I'm going to get my recipes out of tonight. My drink recommends that I'm going to give to you. And I'm super impressed by this gin right now, man. It's not too flowery. It's very smooth. I was light on the gin in my drink. You know, I'm going to have to go in and make another one. But it's, dude, the taste. And I didn't even do anything that special. I just did grapefruit soda with a shot of gin. And my little filtered water ice cubes that are quickly melting right now. And it's delicious. Hopefully you have something delicious to drink in front of you. Cheers to all you listeners. Cheers to Richie for turning me on to this gin. Which, by the way, what does it say on the front here? Hendrick's gin, distilled and bottled in Scotland, loved by a tiny handful of people all over the world. This is good shit, man. I've rarely ever not complained about gin. The flavor, you know, the way it makes me feel. You can tell, I can tell. This is pretty clean, man. I'm not sponsored by Hendrick's gin, by the way. I'm just really, really impressed with this. And it's like 89-cent grapefruit soda that I mixed it with. So it's kind of bad. I feel bad about that part of it. Buying such... And this was actually on sale. The 750ml bottle I got for $30, which normally, at least according to this liquor store, was $50. I got it on sale for $30, so I'm happy with that. Look at me. I'm sipping the hell out of this stuff. I can't believe it. The first time ever. You know, the problem was I would go in the liquor store, and I would go, all right, I'll do some gin tonight, but I would get the bottom of the barrel, because I'm like, I'm not going to enjoy it that much anyway, you know, I just want to get a good buzz, so I buy the cheapest shit, and then I wonder why it tastes like shit. This is actually, I don't want to say it's top shelf, but it's definitely not the bottom. It didn't come in a plastic bottle. The packaging is so nice. It comes with, like I said, this little booklet, and so far, so good, man. I drank some the other night, been working on my mixes with it, and super happy with it so far. Let me go ahead and promote something real quick for you guys. As you know, I'm in a band called Cashing In. We do have a show coming up, so let me just plug that real quick. It's April 24th. It's at Main at Southside in Fort Worth, Texas. It's called Mass, M-A-S-S. If anyone finds a flyer and it's Mass on there, it's the same show, it's the same venue. It's 1002 South Main Street, Fort Worth, Texas, 76104. Doors open at 8 p.m. Let me tell you who we're playing with. Freud's, I'm sorry, it's not Freud's. It's Forid's, Criminal Pogo, Blood Letters, and my band Cashing In. It should be a fun show. I'd love to see some people out there. I'd love to, if I've never met you in person, I'd love to meet you out there at the show. That would really make my night. Come see how the band sounds. If you want a taste, you can find us on Bandcamp to see if it's even your style. If you just want to wear headphones, earplugs to the show because you don't like the style, that's okay too. I'd like to see you out there. Once again, April 24th at Mass, 1002 South Main Street, Fort Worth, Texas, 76104. Doors open at 8. I don't have an order of the bands playing. I don't know if we're playing first. I don't know if we're sandwiched in the middle. I'm really not sure. Just come out and see us anyway. Just make a night of it, you know? Enjoy the whole show. Hey, did anybody watch that Tyson Fury Deontay Wilder fight? I actually got lucky and I found it on YouTube the day after it dropped. The day after it was, after they did the fight. Really, really good fight, man. It ended in the fifth round, TKO. Fury got him, dude. And that's a big, big dude. Like, how do you keep that guy off of you? He's got long arms. I've never seen such a big man with such stamina. How do you stop that, man? How do you stop all that stamina? He's throwing hard punches all the way through. And it's like he doesn't get tired. You can see he's breathing heavy. But if you step to him, he's going to throw a punch. You can't stop him. That was a really good fight. And I think that's a lot of complaints of Deontay Wilder. Is he's undisciplined. He's unorthodox. He's very, very strong, dude. If he catches you right, you're going out. The lights are turning out. But he was no match for Fury that night. Fury just leaned on him. That's a heavy dude to carry around the ring for even five rounds when the fight ended. And Fury punched Wilder in the ear, dude. And like, you know, he gave him a hook. He gave him the little hook over there. And it busted his fucking eardrum, dude. That was pretty brutal. And Wilder, you gotta give him credit, man. he kept fighting. And it was just really weird. It was a weird fight, but it was also inspiring. But then it was also weird too, because it's like Wilder would go back to his corner and nobody was saying shit to him. They were just like, all right, let's clean up the blood a little bit. They weren't giving him like words of encouragement. They weren't like, hey, this is how you have to beat this guy. It was just like he was, I don't know, he was done and he knew it. And he put up a pretty good fight, but man, Wilder got tired carrying Fury around the ring. And Fury, like I said, he's got the stamina. He's got the precision punching. I can't precisely say precision. he's got the precision punching. Just a deadly combination for a heavyweight. Heavy hands. Not to say Wilder doesn't have heavy hands. He definitely does. That's how he's made a name for himself this whole time. But it was actually good to see Wilder lose. Just because you don't want to think that. You want to think someone who studies the art, the sweet science, as they say, is going to win. And he's beat a lot of good guys, Wilder has. A lot of technically sound guys, but Fury was just overwhelming, dude. Overwhelming. Knocked him down 2, possibly 3 times. You could just see the defeat after, like, the 3rd round on Wilder. His corner's not saying shit to him. They're just giving him water, fixing up his cuts a little bit. There was a whole blood-licking incident where Fury actually didn't lick the blood. He just pretended like he was, which was still strange as fuck to watch. But still really good fight. I haven't been into boxing for a little while because there's not really anybody left anymore. You know, I watched a little bit of Mayweather before he retired, and that was always fun. But after, like, Tyson back in the 90s and stuff, I don't think there's been really a big-name heavyweight. I guess Fury at this point and Wilder, they're probably the biggest names, but they're not causing enough interest, not with UFC around. You know, when people can grapple and kick and elbow and shit, it kind of makes boxing look silly. But I still love boxing. I would watch it. I just wish there were better people. And I think boxing also did it to themselves. You know, the association for boxing is like it feels like they rigged so much, or, you know, things turn out like they shouldn't. Somebody gets a decision and they clearly lost the fight. It's like people don't want to watch that shit. People want to see real competition. Houston Astros, I'm looking at you. No, I'm not going to give the Astros shit. They did what they did. They got caught. And boy, oh boy, have they been hit in spring training. I think it was like out of 9 batters, you know, the Astros players have been hit. I think they're hitting people that weren't even a part of the World Series team. They're just like taking it out. If you're wearing that uniform, you got a fucking target on your head all season. This happens with me a lot. How did I get here? How did I get to baseball? When I was just talking about boxing, I guess it had something to do with cheating. I don't remember exactly. Let's go ahead and do these drink recommendations. Give me one sec. Let me pull these up real quick. Give you some of these Hendrick's gin drinks, which sound pretty delicious. Aside from the cucumber, I don't like cucumber. Give me one sec. All right, guys, these are super easy. Yeah, you should be able to make these. I highly recommend Hendrick's gin. Obviously, I've said it about a million times already this episode. The first one I have for you is the Hendrick's Cucumber Martini. It's 4 parts Hendrick's Gin, 1 part dry vermouth. Here's how you do it. Simply stir with ice and strain into a frozen cocktail glass, garnished with a cucumber wheel. That is the Hendrick's Cucumber Martini. That's pretty damn simple. You can't beat that. Here's the Hendrick's and Tonic with cucumber. They're crazy about cucumber with these recipes. Is that lady sitting in a cucumber? Oh, that's a man. Hendrick's and Tonic with cucumber. 2 parts Hendrick's Gin, Superior Tonic Water. Garnish with cucumber, spear, or slice. That one's even easier than the first one. If you can't make these drinks, you're not even trying. Just shoot the shit, right? The last one I have for you is Hendrick's Buck. This is 2 parts Hendrick's Gin, juice of 1/2 lemon, ginger ale, or ginger beer. Pour Hendrick's gin and lemon juice into a short glass. Sorry, this is very small print. Pour Hendrick's gin into a lemon and lemon juice into a short glass over ice cubes and top with ginger ale. Stir, garnish with cucumber peels. So all three of these had cucumbers in it, which isn't my favorite. I might replace those with something else, but I would give it a shot also because I wasn't into gin. Now I'm kind of into it. I'm feeling pretty good taking drinks of my drink here. I'm actually going to need a refill here in a minute. That's the Hendrick's Buck, the Hendrick's and Tonic with cucumber, the Hendrick's Cucumber Martini. They have more on their website if you'd like to check it out. Highly recommend it. They've won so many awards here. Perhaps There Is Gold in Our Cucumbers. 2011 Gold International Spirits Challenge. 2010 Double Gold San Francisco World Spirits Competition. 2009 Best Distiller Wine Enthusiast Magazine. 2005 Gold San Francisco Spirits Competition. 2004 Double Gold San Francisco Spirits Competition. 2003 Best Gin in the World Wall Street Journal. Go out and pick up a bottle, man. I'm not paid by Hendrick's Gin, but this shit is pretty good. As always, don't drink and drive. Get an Uber, get a Lyft, stay where you're at. Mix your drinks at home and just pass out in your bed, you know, the comfort of your own home. Just be safe out there, guys. Cheers. So two segments back to back. Let's go ahead and do videos of the week. I have three for you here. I found most of these on, two of these on Twitter, I'll let you know. Two of these on Twitter, and one is just a national story going around right now. The first one I have for you is found on Twitter. It's the service dog failing every test video. It's one of the funniest videos of a service dog I've ever seen. I've never seen a video of them trying to train a service dog. But they have the guy who's training the dog. They have him sit in a wheelchair, and the dog's kind of pulling him along, walking alongside of him, you know, as the guy in the wheelchair is, you know, pushing himself forward. And then someone out of the corner throws a tennis ball, and this German Shepherd just darts after the tennis ball, pulls the guy out of the wheelchair. The guy can walk, by the way. He's just the trainer. They're just, you know, this is how they train him, I guess. Everybody was okay, even the dog. He's just like the happiest dog, man. It was kind of funny, and you really don't think about it. Like, there are some dogs that just don't make it. He is a German Shepherd. German Shepherds are very, very intelligent dogs, but once he saw that ball go past his face, he couldn't help himself. He just had to run over to it, pulling that guy out of the chair. You just gotta watch it. It's on Twitter. If you don't follow me on Twitter, I'm always retweeting these videos I'm talking about. That gets sent to me, or I just happen to find, or whatever. At Drink It Till You on Twitter, by the way. Drink It Till You Podcast on Instagram. Drink It Till You Podcast on Facebook. Follow me all around. The next video I have for you is, I don't know the name of it. I'm calling it Moaning in People's Ear. It's kind of one of those prank videos to see how people react to certain things. It's like a teenage-looking kid, maybe 17, 18 years old. And he goes up behind somebody in the video and goes, ah, in their ears, super close. I've only seen two clips of him doing it, but they were both fucking hilarious. The first little short guy he does it to, he basically just, like, he's never, ever said a tough thing in his life. This was, like, you can tell, this was the first time he's ever said anything tough. What did he say to him? He said, I'll knock your shit out right here. But he almost fucking whispered it. You know, he's like, I knock your shit out right here. And totally not believable. And then he chased the kid out of the aisle, and that was the end of that one. The second one, the older guy he did it to at the grocery store, he's like in the frozen food section. I was laughing my ass off at like 1 a.m. watching that part. That guy gets so fucking pissed off. If you ever want to see what I'll be like when I'm old, if you inconvenience me or do something I don't like, I will completely react like that old man. He goes, who the fuck are you? You don't come up yelling in my ear? Oh, dude, it's fucking classic. And the screenshot of that, you just gotta look. Follow me on Twitter. I've retweeted it, and I can't stop commenting on it. It's pretty damn funny. And the last video of the week I have for you guys is David Aries, the Zamboni goalie. If you haven't been watching this story, it's kind of a big deal right now. He's a big deal Basically, what happened was, I believe he is the Zamboni goalie for, he's the Zamboni driver for the Toronto Maple Leafs. And the Carolina Hurricanes were in Toronto. And, basically, Carolina, the first goalie they had, he somehow twisted his ankle. He went, like, back in the net and, like, twisted his ankle somehow. He comes out of the game. They put in their backup goalie. That guy basically just gets crushed on an accidental play. One of Toronto's players accidentally, you know, ran into the guy. And he's out of the game. So, basically, Carolina is scrambling to find a goaltender. This man, David Aries, is, you know, I don't know how you get, is he a certified backup goaltender? How did they pick him? You know, he's like in the back, like taping sticks or something. And they're like, hey, you, get in the game. Put some gear on. Get in the fucking game. So basically, they just go to the back. They find David there. He goes, suits up. He plays the game for Carolina, by the way. I believe from what I've read, he's a Toronto Maple Leafs fan, which was who Carolina was playing that night, blah, blah, blah. And he goes in goal for Carolina, and he fucking crushes it, dude. He got two quick goals scored on him, and after that, he shut everything else down. And Carolina ended up winning the game 6-3, which was, you know, pretty impressive for having a backup goalie in the goal. Like, it just seems like all you had to do was shoot at him, and it was going through. But, dude, he stood his ground, and it's crazy to see the video, too. Just watch the highlights. Excuse me. It's crazy to see the video, like the difference of speed, because the puck comes, it gets sent down towards the Carolina net, and Aries comes out and skates toward the puck, and you can clearly see a speed difference of like a professional and, you know, the backup technically, you know, pretty fucking wild. And now this guy is going on talk shows. I think they're talking about him writing a book. He's getting all kinds of retweets. He's getting all kinds of media love in general. And now what the NHL is doing is they're retiring his goalie stick that he used for that one single game into the Hockey Hall of Fame, which is like, dude, this guy was 42 years old, never played in the NHL before, just randomly, you know, two goalies go down, he comes in, and it's just freaking wild how much this guy's become a rock star by doing something that he's always wanted to do. And they asked him how much he got paid for the game. He's like, I don't even know. I don't even think he cares at this point. He's just so, like, his wife is so happy that he actually got to play in the NHL. You know, that just goes to show you, everybody, just hang around something you love long enough, something good might happen. I mean, that's kind of a rare thing to happen. Like, what are the chances of two starting goaltenders going down and getting hurt and you coming in the game? But he did it, and he crushed it. And just cheers to David Aries. He's living a rock star lifestyle, and he just followed his dream. You know, that's all he ever did. He didn't do anything wrong. He kept his head down. He's a super nice guy, from what I can tell. I don't know him personally, but all the interviews, he's super humble and, like, I can't believe it. And cheers to David Aries. So let's go ahead and have a little Stars talk. I'm trying to wait later and later into the episodes to talk about hockey. I feel like I turn off my women listeners. And, you know, not everybody watches hockey. Hockey's like the low guy on the totem pole, right? But anyways, Dallas Stars took on the Boston Bruins. I believe that was Thursday. We got our asses kicked pretty good, man. And apparently, from what the players are saying, Boston is the best team in the league, according to them. So really hard to keep up with. And my best comparison for what happened the other night, why we lost, we tried, man. We fought. I will give us that. We lost 4-3. If we would have had one more period, I think we would have come back and at least tied it. I don't know if we would have won, but we would have at least pushed it to overtime. And All we need, man, all we need is one more shot to be saved by Bishop. Bishop has just been on a decline lately, I feel like. They're finding holes on him. He's kind of making stupid plays. He's not hugging his post like he should, so they're shooting short side on him and getting it through. But the best comparison I have for what happened to the Dallas Stars versus the Bruins was, you know, it's kind of like that Tyson Fury fight. It's basically like Boston is so big, they just fucking leaned on us for three periods, and you could kind of see a dip in our energy. We didn't play back-to-back games. We had a day in between games, like a travel day. And Boston is just heavy, man. They're heavy hitters. They got big guys that can pin you to the boards trying to get the puck, and they just wore us down. You know, we did fight back as best as we could, but playing that way over the game, it's like pretty much halfway through the second period, I saw the decline of our energy. It's hard to keep that energy up, that speed up, and we didn't really have a game plan. Once they pinned us down and we knew we couldn't just dump and chase and, you know, just get our way with our speed, that kind of killed the game for us. And in Boston, credit, all the credit to Boston, man. They shut us down. We have a pretty high-powered team. We are defensive-minded, but, you know, couldn't do it. So we got a big one coming up. Jamie Benn is still yet to score his 300th career goal. He's had two that they've said were his goals, and then they were like, oh, no, it got tipped. We're taking it back. And I'm hoping it comes Saturday. Saturday is the day. Because you know what? The Dallas Stars will make the playoffs this season. That's a given. But in order to make it to the Stanley Cup Finals, we are going to have to go through St. Louis. And unfortunately, right now, at this present day, St. Louis has our number. They beat us pretty good last time we played them. They beat us worse than Boston did, which, I mean, if we're considering Boston the best team in the league, and we got smoked by St. Louis, I don't know. Maybe we have it backwards a little bit. But either way, like I'm saying, we're going to have to get through St. Louis. So Saturday we play St. Louis, I believe. I haven't looked at the schedule. That's just what I've heard people say. I'm pretty sure it is St. Louis. But hopefully Jamie Benn saving that 300th goal for St. Louis. Score that one on Bennington. Let's get that game. St. Louis is kind of that same style, which, if you don't remember, last year in the Stanley Cup Finals, it was Boston and St. Louis. And surprisingly, St. Louis bullied Boston a little bit, which is hard to believe, especially with a guy that's like, what? What is Char, like 7 foot something? That is a humongous fucking human being. I don't know how you can bully that guy on... I guess everybody's on skates. You're more prone to slip and crack your head open if you're on skates. But, yeah, that was the matchup last year, and we got to do it, man. We got to do it Saturday. I don't want anything else. I just want us to beat St. Louis on Saturday convincingly, prove to our fans that we have the game plan that can beat St. Louis, which last season, man, we got the closest out of anybody. Double overtime, game 7. If we get a tip or a bounce our way, we're probably winning the Stanley Cup. I know that sounds cocky, but... any fan of hockey is probably laughing at me right now because that's what everybody thinks. You get a tip, you get a bounce, you beat a team, you're probably going to win the whole thing. Who knows how we would have held up against Boston? They probably would have bullied us like St. Louis did to them. But anyways, you guys, that's going to do it for me for the night. Let me down this, the rest of this gin. Which, thank you again, once again, Richie, for recommending this. You've absolutely changed my mind. Hendrix gin is not the ugly stepsister of all the liquors. Give me one sec. Let me pick some music. All right, guys, that's going to do it for me. I'll talk to you next week. Be safe. Don't drink and drive. Get an Uber. Get a Lyft. Don't be a fucking moron. Cheers, everybody. Bye.
3 days with no water.